Okay, we are on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. We had concluded yesterday about different types of garments that a woman could wear. Most of them had to do with things that were on her head, and one of them was the istama. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Gimel Devarim Nemru Be'istama. There are three things that we said about an istama. It's some kind of scarf, according to most Mepharshim, it's some kind of scarf which held the hair in place. Anyway, this istama, there are three things that was said about it. First of all, one, ein bo mishum klayim. It's not. There's no shatnez problem with an istama. There's no problem of klayim. Why not? So Rashi explains, because the istama was made with a material called fultra, which I believe is felt, and the fibers in the istama were not spun. And in order for something to be under the category of shatnez, it had to be from material that was once upon a time spun. The thread had to be spun. And here the thread is not spun because it's made out of felt. So it can't be shatnez. Why isn't it shatnez derabanan? So there's many reasons. It doesn't really serve any real function. You could go all along without it. So for all various reasons, it's not a problem of shatnez deraisa or derabanan. Two, the eno metama benegayim. And this istama cannot have saras on the beged. Why? So Rashi says, because we learn the rules of begadim are learned from shatnez. And just like it can't get shatnez because the fibers aren't spun, so too it cannot ever get saras because the fibers aren't spun. They go together. Shatnez and negoyim go together. So it can never get saras. This is istama. And three, the ein yotzin ba l'rishus harabim. And a woman can't wear it on Shabbos, like we said yesterday. And Mishum of Shimon Amru, a fourth issue. Af ein ba Mishum itros kalos. It also does not fall under the ban of a kala wearing crowns. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Chacham asked for a kala to wear a crown at a wedding. It's too much enjoyment in this world, and specifically by a wedding they forbid it. But an istam is not a problem, mainly because it's not made out of gold. It's not made out of silver, it's just made out of fiber. It's made out of material. So that wasn't a problem. Not sure about silver. Not sure about silver, but gold certainly is not a problem. There's all discussion over here. So if the majority is okay, so you go after the majority. So if you have a little diamond or a little traces of other things, it's not a problem. So yesterday, Rav Rasmus said that Rav Willig is makbid, that there shouldn't be any gold in them at all, even if the strands of gold shouldn't even come into the problem. But if it's made out of just fiber, it's not a problem at all. So we had said yesterday that the first shita of what is a kavla, and we said it's some kind of hat that's worn on over the hair. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, has an entirely different interpretation of what a kavla is. Shmuel Amar and Shmuel says it's kavla da'avdatnan. It's a emblem worn by a slave. The emblem would be worn by a slave. They would wear it because everyone should know they're slaves. Slaves didn't want to wear it. So there was a fear that they would remove them. And if they're going to remove them, they're going to carry them. Therefore, they're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. They can't go out with this kavla on Shabbos. That's what a kavla in the Mishnah means. It's a kavla de avda, an emblem of a slave. So the Gemara says, Umi amar Shmuel hachi. Did Shmuel say that the Mishnah is talking about a kavla de avda, an emblem of a slave, and that can't be worn on Shabbos? V'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel said elsewhere, Yotze Eved b'chosum shevet tavaro, an Eved's allowed to go out with a emblem around his neck. Avalo b'chosum shevet k'suso, but he can't wear an emblem if it's attached to his clothes. So, and Tosfos points out, we don't want to hang the Mishnah that it's only talking about a case where it's attached to the clothes, because the Mishnah doesn't make any distinctions at all. So, on one hand, Shmuel says, the Mishnah says you can't, but Shmuel himself said, if it's hanging around someone's neck, then he can. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a steer in Shmuel. Ha, the Ovid le Rabbe. And one is where it was the kavod avda was made by his master. Ha, the Ovid ihu l'nafshe. And one is where he made it himself. If he made it for his master, if the master made it himself, then the master is very makbid. And if the master is very makbid, no slave is going to ever remove it. If no slave is going to ever remove it, then there's no problem of wearing it. If the master said, slave, you go make the thing yourself. So obviously the master is not so makbid, because he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to take the time and energy to do it himself. He let the slave do it himself, so the slave's not so afraid if he removes it. He doesn't want to go out on the street wearing this thing. He doesn't want people to know he's an Eved. He'd like to walk like everybody else, like a Ben Chorin. So we're afraid he's going to take it off. And if he takes it off, he's going to be carrying. Well, it's not really going to be about taking off. We're going to see in a minute what the problem is. That's how we get out of Shmuel's problem. The Mishnah's talking about where he made it himself. So if he made it himself, he's not allowed to wear it. And this other member of Shmuel is talking about where the master made it. If the master made it, there's no problems, because we're not scared he's going to touch it, because he's afraid of the master. So the Gemara says, but Mayo Kimta, what's the case? The case is, Mayo Kimta Lahad Shmuel. This other memory here of Shmuel is where the master made it. So the Ovid Le Rabbe, where the master made it. So we're not afraid he's going to touch it. So b'chosav shebaksusu amaylo. So why did Shmuel make a distinction whether it's around his neck or whether it's on his garments? So if it's on his garments, why can't he wear it? So the Gemara says it's a separate problem. Dilma mifsak, maybe it'll fall off. Umirtas, and he'll be afraid. He'll be afraid that it fell off. And what's going to happen is, as Rashi explains, they used to wear this emblem on their cloak. So even though the master told him, you make it yourself, and we have a chashash, maybe he's going to remove it and carry it, but if he made it himself, we're afraid that if it fell off, he's going to have a hole there where the emblem should be. He doesn't want anyone to see that hole either, so he'll do is he'll fold up his cloak in such a way that he'll be carrying the cloak. That's the problem. So Dilma Mifsak, it'll fall off. Umirtas, he'll be afraid that if somebody will see that he's not wearing the emblem. Umikvale, he'll fold up the cloak. Umachisle Akaspe, and he'll be carrying it on his shoulders to hide the spot. Kedrav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, like the Shita of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the Amr of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amr of Yochanan, Hayotze Betalis Mikufeles, if somebody goes out with a folded up talis, Umunachas lo al ksefav, and it's hanging over your shoulders, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, chayav chatos, b'chayav chatos. So, if he made it himself, we don't let him wear it at all, whether it's around his neck, because maybe he'll take it off, or if it's on his garment, because maybe he'll carry the garment. If his master made it, then we let him wear it only around his neck, right? If his master made it, then we let him wear it, because we're not scared he's going to touch it. So the Mechaber points out that this issue about carrying a talus if you have it over your shoulders is only if the talus is really around your shoulders and it doesn't serve any other body part at all. So Mechaber says in Shit Aleph Chavtes, Hayotze b'talus makvelas al ksefav, somebody goes out with a talus draped on your shoulders, in a place obviously where there's no Eruv, Tahainu, Shala'acher Shenosna al Rosho, after you put it on your head, Magbia Shuleha al Ksefav, you put all the ends over your shoulders, then Chayav Chatas. That's a problem because you're carrying the talus. Aval in Eno Mikopelas al Ksefav, Ela Mishul Sheles Barachba Lamata Miksefav, you let it hang down from your shoulders, then Shari, then it's okay, because then it's considered a Malbush, then you're wearing it. That's many people that live in a place without an Eruv and wear the talis. They don't wear it over, around their shoulders like a scarf. Rather, they wear it like a beged. So we had just made a distinction whether the emblem was made by himself or by the Rebbe, or by the master. What? It's in this instance, Lagavi, the issue of Shabbat is considered carrying because you're not wearing it. You just have it. It's an extra masui. It's an extra thing. Doesn't give you any benefit. There's no purpose in that, and it would be considered carrying. The same thing. The Chihad Amalei Shmuel of Chinan Bar Shila, like Shmuel said to Chinan Bar Shila. Kul Rabbanon, all the Rabbanon, the Bei Reish Galusa, that are all under the jurisdiction of the Reish Galusa, Lo Lithki, they should not go out on Shabbos. Besarbali Chasimi, with a cloak that has the emblem of the Reish Galusa. Rashi says they'd wear this emblem to show that they were subservient to the Reish Galusa. The Ritva says that this emblem showed that they paid taxes, that they had paid the taxes. Anyway, they should not go out with this on Shabbos because we're scared if it's going to fall off, then they're not going to want anyone to see that they didn't pay taxes or that they're not subservient to the Reish Galusa. So they're going to fold it in such a way that they could end up carrying it. So you see that the support for such an issue. Labar minach, except for you, Rechidon Bar Shila. You, it's not a problem. Why? Because you're in such good graces with the Reish Kalusa, the Lokopti Alecha de Bei Reish Kalusa. The Reish Kalusa would not be upset if he saw you not wearing that emblem, because he likes you so much. So you, and if so, therefore you, if it fell off, you wouldn't have to touch anything, so you can wear it. So it's interesting. This person, Rechidon Bar Shila, he comes up a few places in Shas, but there's no memory for that he said in the entire Shas. There's no halacha or agada that he said. He always comes up in stories, like here. But there's no actual memory that he said. But anyway, he was held in good graces by the Reish Kalusa. There was no issue for him. But for everybody else, there was. Just more support that was scared that when it comes to these emblems, you might touch them. Gufo, we just said, Amar Shmuel, that Shmuel said, Yotze ha'eved b'chosam shevet avaro. An eved can go out with an emblem around his neck. Avalo b'chosam shevet k'suso. But he cannot go out with an emblem if it's attached to the clothing. We also learn similarly. He can go out with an emblem around his neck. But he cannot go out with a chosem that is attached to his clothes. So for Minhu, but I'll ask you a stira, because you have another member that says, Lo yotze eved b'chosem sheber tzavaro. He cannot go out if it's around his neck. V'lo b'chosem sheber k'suso. And he cannot go out with something attached to the clothes. We're going to get to that in 1 second. So we just see here that the kasha is over. The kasha is over. We just said the kasha. The kasha is that Shmuel said around his neck, yes. And here you see a member around his neck, no. And now the Bryce is going to continue and say a lot more halachas. We're going to ask, the Gemara is going to say, well, let's say one's made by him, one day by the master. We're going to answer that in a minute. Now the Bryce continues. V'zeh v'zeh ein mekabel and tumah. Both the chosin that you wear around your neck, the emblem around your neck, and the emblem attached to clothes, is not mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's not a kli, and it's not a malbush, Rashi explained. Nobody wants to wear this. Nobody wants to broadcast that they're an eved. So it's not a tachshit, and it's not a malbush, it's nothing. So it's not makabal toma. Zeh v'zeh ain't makabal toma. Now also, v'lo bezug shevet tzavaro. An eved cannot wear a bell around his neck. Avol yotu bezug shevet k'suso. But he can wear a bell that's attached to his clothes. And we're going to explain, because that's in those days, it was a normal thing to have bells attached to the clothing. It was a normal derech malbush. But around the neck, not. V'zeh v'zeh mekablu tumah. Very important line, because this is the whole other basis, this line. That a bell, both types of bells, can be mekablu tumah by a person. Now, more. V'lo teitzei behema. An animal can't go out. Lo b'chosem shebet tzavaro. Not with a bell around its neck. V'lo b'chosem shebeksuso. Not with a bell that's attached to any of its garments. And this was to notify the guy, the person, the owner, where the animal is. They hear it coming. Or Rashi says that they would put the bells on when they would try to sell it in the marketplace. So you don't want anyone to think that you sell the animal on Shabbos. So all this stuff is out. Not only that, that's the chosem. So that was just for identification purposes. Now, v'lo bezug shebet k'susa, you can't wear a bell. V'lo bezug shebet tzavara, and I can't wear a bell around its neck either. And v'zeh v'zeh ain't mekabel tumah. The bells or the chosems are not mekabel tumah. Why not? So Rashi explains, because begadim of animals are never mekabel tumah. It's not considered begadim. So they don't serve any purpose. They're not mekabel tumah. So anyway, we have a kasha. The kasha is we had said that Shmuel said that if it's around his neck, then he can go out with it on Shabbos. And here this member says that he can't. So the Gemara suggests lema hada avid le rabbe hada avid ihu lenafshe. Let's say that Shmuel was talking about with a master made it. If the master made it, there's no fear he's going to touch it because he's afraid of his master. And this Bryce is talking about where he made it himself. So the Gemara says, lo, don't say that answer. And the reason we're not going to say that answer is because we're going to have a better answer. But the better answer is going to introduce a brand new factor. Lo, I'd the Avad Le Rabbe. Both cases are talking about where the master made the chosem. So why can't he wear it if it's around his neck? So a new factor. V'kan b'shal mateches, v'kan b'shal tit. One case was talking about where the emblem was made out of metal, and one case was talking about where the emblem was made out of clay. And Rashi alludes to that in the first, in the Rashi that says, Chosem Shebet Tzavaro, the third line up on top, And it was made out of clay. Rashi alluded to that all the way at the beginning of the Gemara. If it's made out of clay, then the Eved is allowed to wear it, even though it's master-made. Why? Because let's say it falls off, it'll crack. So he's not going to pick up the pieces, because the pieces are worthless. He'll come home and tell the master, listen, it fell off, I ran right home to tell you, I'm afraid of you, but I didn't pick them up because it's pieces of clay. But if it's made out of metal and it falls off, then it's very expensive. That the master went out of his way to fashion one out of metal. We're afraid that if it falls off, he'll pick it up and carry it home.
If something falls off and it's in your dollar amas, are you allowed to pick it up on Shabbos?
If something falls off and it's within your dollar amas, can you pick it up? Maybe you can pick it up. Where can you go with it? Can't carry it. Can't carry a dollar amas. Maybe, I don't know the halacha, maybe you can pick it up and stay there the rest of Shabbos. But we're not scared of that. We're always scared that you're going to come to carry it 4 amos. So, Ukid Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua. The Davar HaMakbid Alav Rabbo. If the Rabba is makbid about something, if it's something that he considers very expensive, which these metal emblems are, then Yotzenbo. Then you can wear them on Shabbos. But Davar She'ein Makbid Alav. Davar She'ein Makbid Alav Yotzenbo. And if it's not. I'm sorry. Davar HaMakbid Alav Rabbo Ein Yotzenbo. Davar She'ein Makbid Alav Yotzenbo. So now we're going to explain why this is a better answer than saying the one was the master, one was himself. Hachidami mistabra. It makes sense to make the distinction between metal and not metal. Why? Midiktani zev vazeh ein mekabel in toma. Because one of the things we said about these emblems was that they're not mekabel toma. So iamar bishloma shal mateches. It makes sense if you say that these emblems that we're talking about is metal. Hanihu delo mekabli toma. That's why the Brisa goes out of its way to tell us, and by the way, these emblems are not Mekabel Tumah. But Ha-Kalim did who? But other Kalim made out of metal, Mekabel Tumah, would be Mekabel Tumah. Right? The Brisa is going out of its way to inform us, by the way, these emblems, they're not like regular Kalim. Regular Kalim of metal, certainly not Mekabel Tumah, but not these, because they don't serve any function. They're not a Tachshit, and they're not Kalim. But Ela'i Amris B'Shaltit Tnan, but if you're going to tell me that those emblems in the Brisa were made out of clay, so what? Hani hudalo makabli tuma. Only these clay emblems are not makabli tuma, but are kalim didhu makabli tuma, which would imply that other kalim made out of clay are makabli tuma. That's not true. For Tanya, but we have a Brisa that says clay avonim, anything made out of stone or clay galalim or made out of here it's excrement from animals that harden and you make kalim out of it. Or clay adama, earthen kalim, which is clay. Ein mekabel toma, they're not mekabel toma. Lo medivrei Torah, for lo medivrei sofrim. Not midoraisa, not midorabanan. Elo shma mina, so it must be true that shama teches, that the Brisa was talking about metal. Shma mina, yes, that's a good raya. So it comes out that if it's made out of metal, the slave can never wear it. If he made it himself, the slave can never wear it. The only time he can wear it is if the master made it for him and it's made out of clay. Because then, when he's not going to take it off because he's afraid of his master, and if it falls and breaks, he's not going to pick it up. That ends the discussion. It's not cheres. Kli cheres is makabel tuma. It must be at a different stage of the hardening process. That's the only thing I can think of.
If it's so shy for these things to fall off and break, and you should not be allowed to go with a kli cheres, because then you're going to be over on destroying our Shabbos. If it's such a common thing that they fall off and break.
But I don't know how common it is for it to fall off and break that you should be and you didn't do it. You didn't do anything. You didn't drop it. You allowed it to fall and break. You wouldn't be chayef for destroying in that case. You didn't do anything. You're walking out on the streets.
If it's not common to them, why are you doing guys that you can't?
The Tosafos raises the common issue in a few minutes about being common. Hold off in 5 more minutes. Okay, so that's a different process how they make it, exactly. Okay, so everybody's probably thinking to themselves, what this whole Amid has nothing to do with practical life after a certain time in history when people stopped being slaves. So the Or Zeruah, who's one of the Rishonim, points out that this entire Amid that discusses the issue of a slave wearing a emblem doesn't raise the problem that it's a masoi, that it's an extra garment. And as we said yesterday, if it's a masoi, it's asur midoraisa. You're not allowed to carry it at all. Based on that or zerua, listen to this Ramah. It's an amazing Ramah. The Ramah says, V'osan, so he's all, it's in Siman Shin Aleph, all the things about, it's all the issues about extra things that you're wearing that could be problems of carrying or not problems of carrying. The talus is in there, this whole perek is in here. Anyway, in Siman Shin Gimel, the Ramah says the following, V'osan igulim yirukim, the yellow circles, Shegozra hamalchus, shekol Yehudi yisa echad mehem b'ksuso, that the government have decreed that every Jew has to wear one, right? The Star of David, every Jew has to wear one. The Ramah says, mutter lotzeis behen, you're allowed to wear them. Afilu eno tafur b'ksuso, even if it's sewn, even if it's not sewn on the garment, even if it's just attached in some very flimsy way, rak mechuber sham ksas, as long as it's a little attached, because, and the Mishnah Berurah points out, because you don't want it to fall off, because you don't want to get in trouble, and it's certainly something that you're afraid, and you're not going to carry it, and it's no different than a clay emblem that the master made for you, which you are allowed to wear on Shabbos. So it's fascinating that the Ramah brings this whole issue into the not modern times, but not so distant past, about wearing the Stars of David.
When
the Ramah lived in the 1500s.
Back then
of course. Star of David's very old. It's not only, the Nazis didn't invent it. It was invented way before them. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Omar Mar. We said before, V'lo bizug shevet zavaro. Right? Not a you can't wear a bell around your neck. But you can wear a bell if it's attached to the clothes. So the Gemara is going to explain. Zug shevet zavaro amaylo. Why can't you wear a zug that around the neck? Why not? So the Gemara says, because dilma mifsak, maybe it's going to fall off. V'asa la'asuyeh, and you're going to come to carry it. Zug shevet ksuso, but if it's a zug, if it's a bell attached to the clothes, nami, lechosh dilma mifsak v'asa la'asuyeh, let's be afraid it'll fall off and I'll come to carry it. So the Gemara answers, no. Hacha b'mayaskin, and this is what we're talking about. Demicha b'mumcha, where an expert sewed the bell onto the garment. Ukad Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yehoshua, and it's like the member of Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yehoshua. The Amr Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yehoshua, kal shehu arug. If something is woven onto the garment, lo gozru, they were not gozer. Why? Because if it's sewn on very well, it's not going to fall off. There's no reason they can't wear it. So Tosfos says, then what about the Kaval da'avdas? Aren't they sewn also? Right? And we said before that they can't wear it if it's sewn on. So Tosfos answers that they did not dispense with the gzera for unusual cases. That's what the common issue comes in. They did not dispense with the gzera for unusual cases. Everybody wears bells and whatnot attached to their garments, so then if it's sewn on well, there's no gzera because it's not good. But for a Kaval da'avdas, who wore that? Only slaves wore that. So they did not do away with the gzera just for the slaves. But for everybody else who wore stuff that's attached to the garments, they did do away with the gzera. They're low gozer. They weren't gozer.
A bell was not a problem with making music on Shabbos.
We're going to get to that right now, about making music on Shabbos. Amar Mar, we had said before, lo tseisei behema, that an animal can't go out, lo b'chosim shebet tzavoro, not with a emblem around its neck, lo b'chosim shebet ksusa, and not with a emblem attached to its garments, v'lo bezug shevet zavara, v'lo bezug shevet ksusa, not with a bell around its neck, not with a bell attached to the garments. Zevze ein mekabel toma. None of this is mekabel toma by an animal. None of this stuff is mekabel toma. So the Gemara says, v'zug de behema ein mekabel toma. A zug of an animal is not mekabel toma. V'reminhu, but I'll ask you a stira. It says elsewhere, zug shebehema tamea. A zug of an animal can become tame. And that's the kasha right there. Now the Brisa continues, Vishaldeles, but a bell of a door, that when you open the door, the bell would ring to let you know that someone walked into the store. That is Tahora. That's Tahar. Why? So Rashi explains, because it's attached to the door, and the door is attached to the house, and we have a rule that things that are Mechubal Lakarka cannot become Tame. So that's why you're safe with that bell. Now, Sheldeles, if you had a bell that you used for the door, and then, V'asur Libhema, you decided to put this bell on the behema, then tamei. Then now the bell is serving the function of being on an animal. It's no longer attached to the ground. It will become tamei. Shel behema. But if you had an animal of a behema, which now you want to va'asuhu ledeles, and now you want to take it off the animal and put it on the door, afal pi, even though shechibru ledeles, you fastened it to the door, the kavu b'masmarim, and you made it affixed to the door with nails, nevertheless tamei, it's still going to remain tamei. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say, because we'll see, we read it inside, shekol hakelim, because all kelim, yordin l'day tumasan, can become tamei, can go down and become tamei b'machshava, just by thinking about it. So I want to take the bell that's on the door and put it on my animal. Once I make that thought, I have to remove it, it automatically becomes right to be mekabel tuma, because it could, to go from something that can't be to something that can be, you just need a machshava. But the ain olin miday tumasa, it can only go up and become tamei elo b'shili maisa, only if you actually make a change to the item. So if it's on the animal and it can become mekabel tuma, and now you take it off and attach it to the door, you didn't change the bell in any way, you didn't do any maisa, moving it from there to there is not called a maisa. So since he didn't do any maisa, it'll still become roi to be mekabel tuma, even though it's attached. You have to do some kind of maisa to it. Anyway, we see from over here, this braisa says that a bell can become tame, and on Amud Aleph we said that the bell of an animal can't. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a problem. Tad isle imbol. One case is talking about where it doesn't have the clapper inside, that metal piece that bangs against the sides of the bell. If you don't have that, then we're thinking now that that's not called a complete kli, and that's Amud Aleph, that's the case by the animals, and that's why it's not going to become a kabel tuma. But ha, sorry, that's the lesle imbol. And one case is where it doesn't have a clapper. So if it doesn't have a clapper, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. That's the case that Amud Aleph by the animals. If it does have a clapper, it will be mekabel tuma. And that's the case over here by the door. That's how we answer the stira. So the Gemara says, manashach. What kind of answer? What kind of distinction is that? Imanahu, if it's a kli, if the bell is considered a kli, afal pi delesle inbul. Then it doesn't make a difference whether or not it has a clapper. If it's a kli, it's a kli. And e the lav manahu, and if it's not a kli, then inbul mashule mana, then the fact that it's not a kli, that the clapper is going to be the makam apatish to make this into a kli, the clapper is the final ingredient to make it a kli. The Gemara says in yes, kedir Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, like the Shmuel bar Nachmeni said, Amar of Yonasan, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar of Yonasan, minayin. How do we know lemashmiya kol bekli matris shehu tamei? How do we know that if a kli matris is able to make noise, then it can become under the category of something that's able to be mekabel tuma? How do you know that? Like a bell. When it doesn't have a clapper, it can't make noise. When it does have one, it can make noise. So how do you know that is a distinction? That's the difference? Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk by the kli midyonim, kol dover asher yavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'esh. Anything that came through fire, you should remove with fire. Even though this pasuk is really talking about Hagalah, it's really talking about Kasher and Kalim, not Kalim and the issue of Tameh. I think Rashi told us, point out, the end of that pasuk has the word Tameh in there. And they say, in Eino Inyan, if you don't need it to teach you that, you can learn it to teach me this. You have a lot of times that there's connections between the issues of Hagalah and the issues of Tumah. So the Gemara is using the same principle here. And the Gemara says, Afilu Dibur Yavo Be'esh. The word says dover, called dover shiyavo beish. So the Gemara makes a drasha and uses the word dibur, speaking, noise. There's no speaking by a bell. Bells don't speak; they just make noise. But it's the same idea that something that can make noise, that is the deciding factor when it's something that can become roi to be mekabel tuma. So if it has a clapper, it can make noise, and if it doesn't, it can't, and that's the difference. So b'mayo kimta, what did you just say? That we're talking about a case, b'deles le inbul, that on Amud Aleph, the reason why the bell of an animal can't become tamei is because it doesn't have a clapper. Therefore, it can't become tamei. But eima mitziyasa, But the Braisa on Amud Aleph continued and started talking about a person, started talking about a slave. And it said, V'lo bezug shebetavara. And not with a bell around its neck. That a slave can't wear a bell around its neck on Shabbos. And then it said, Avalo tuhu bezug shebetavara. It can't go out with a bell on its clothes. We explained that. And then it said a line, V'ze v'ze mekabel tumah. Both bells are mekabel tumah. And Rashi says, we would assume that the Braisa was consistent, and if the bell regarding the animal didn't have a clapper, then this bell also didn't have a clapper. So, Eid Leslie Inbul, me Makabal Tumah. So if it didn't have a clapper, why should it be Makabal Tumah? Verminhu, and I'll bring you a stira, there's a Mishnah that says, a Mishnah in Kalim, Ha'osa Zugin Lemachteshes. If somebody makes a bell, if someone attaches bells to a mortar, right? Rashi says, why would someone attach bells to a mortar? Right, a mortar is that stick that used to crush the spices. Right, you see it on the pharmacies, the pestle and mortar. So if you have that mortar, they attach bells to it. Why would they do that? Rashi says, Shemafatmin eba samamonim, lahakdil lereach, the kaimalon bekrisas, we learn in krisas, shakol yofa libesamim, that voice is good for besamim. That's not what the Gemara in krisas says. What the Gemara in krisas says is, that kishu shochek, what we say, that Sfarad says this every day in Kelakenu, and this Achashkan says it on Shabbos. Kishu shochek, when you're crushing the spices for the ketores, Omer, you should say, hodek heitev heitev hodek. Right? Why? If they shakol yafal libesamim. For some reason, the Kolbo says that for some reason, saying these four words, hodek heitev heitev hodek, allows the spices to be ground better. Sure, and the Gemara says that just like doing this when you're grinding spices, talking when you're making the wine, that's a bad thing to do. This is a good thing to do, that's a bad thing to do. So now somehow the Gemara is extending saying those four words to any noise, even having bells. So if you have bells on the stick while you're crushing the spices, it's good for it. So we're very interested in doing that. Next, Ula Arisa. And sometimes they would put bells on a crib to lull the children to sleep. Or they would attach bells to the covers of Sifrei Torah so that when they would come into the school, into the yeshiva, and the children would hear the bell, they would know that class is beginning. Or lematpachos tinokos, they would put bells on the bibs of children. All of this, yesh lahem inbel tamein, if they have clappers, then all these things are going to be tamei. Ein lahem inbel tahorin. They don't have bells, they're going to be tahor. So you see here that the kasha is over. So you see here that the whole distinction is that in order for the bell to be tamei, it has to have a clapper. And we just, according to what you're saying, the slave's bell doesn't have a clapper, yet it's tamei. And now the Gemara just says one more line. Nitlu invalehen. If you remove the clapper from the bell, adayin tumasan alehem, it's still going to be tamei. We're going to get to that in 5 seconds. Normally, if you break a kli, you remove its tumah. It's no longer functioning as a kli, but a bell and a clapper is different. So the kasha is, here we see that in order for a bell to be tamei, it has to have a clapper, and it's mashma from Amud Aleph, that the bell that the slave wore did not have a clapper. So the Gemara answers, hani mili betinok. All the cases that we mentioned are regarding children. It's not really true. The mortar has nothing to do with children. But the point is, in all these cases, we were very interested in making noise. We were very interested in making noise. That's Batinak. Dilakola avidile. The whole purpose why we have these bells on all these cases, on the Sefer Torah, on the mortar, on the bib, on the crib, it's all to make noise. We want to make noise. Aval gadol, but by an adult, tachshirhu lay. It's just an ornament. Even if it doesn't have a clapper. So we had always thought all along that the only reason a bell is going to become tamei is because it serves to make noise. That's only by certain cases. But certain times, it's just an ornament. So if it's an ornament, it'll become tamei even if it doesn't have a clapper. So there are two reasons why a bell can serve a function. It could be a clapper, and it could also just be an ornament. And if it's an ornament, you don't care if it makes noise. Yeah. So if you take, but there, but had a clapper in both of those cases. No, that's by a person. By a cow, you do want it on because you want to know where your cow is. You want to hear it walking around. Right. Even if it's a tashrik, can you take it to sell it? That's why they can't wear it. That's why they can't wear it, but it's not makabel tumah. It's not makabel tumah. That's why they can't wear it. Right. It's two different things. Right. So Amar Mar, we just said that nitlo, if you remove the clapper, nitpal imbalehen, if you remove the clapper, adayin tumasan alehen. It still remains in its status of tumah. Normally, right, when you have a kli and it breaks, it can't become tumah anymore. But this is different. Why is it different? So lamai chazu, what's this good for, this bell without a clapper? Why is this different? So Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Hoil shahed yod yachol lahach zero. Since anybody, any amateur, can attach the clapper back to the bell, it's as if it's not really attached. It's as if it's not really detached. Since it's so easy to fix it, it's like it's still fixed. That's what Abaya said. Therefore, even if the clapper's removed, it's still going to be tummy. So Masiv Rava, Rava has a kasha on this. We're going to do the kasha today, we'll do the answer tomorrow. Hazug, we have a mission in Parah. Hazug, a bell, for inbal and its clapper, chibur, are connected. Which is mashma, that if they're not connected, then they're not going to become one, it's not one kli anymore, and it's not going to become tame. V'chi tema, and that's the kasha right there. You see from this mission in Parah, that the only time a bell and a clapper are going to become tame is when they're connected. And the Rabbi says, V'chi tema, and if you're going to tell me, Hachik Omar, this is what the Mishnah says, Af agav delo mechaber, even if they're not connected, Keman de mechaber domi, we're going to treat it as if it's connected, exactly what Abaya said, that we're going to treat it as if they're connected because they're so easy to attach, if that's what you're going to tell me, V'atanya, but we have a brisa that says, I think some say it should be a Tosefta, Misporis shel prokim, if you have scissors, that are made of two different pieces of metal that you attach at the center so you can use them as scissors, or the izemel shirihitni, a plane of a carpenter, which also is made from two different pieces, chibur l'tuma, so if they're connected, they're connected regarding the issue of tuma, which means if one part of that scissor became tameh, the entire scissors is tameh, but the ein chibur l'hazah, if it's already tameh, it's not called connected for the regard of the issues of sprinkling from the paraduma. So if this kli is tame and they go in front of the paraduma to have it sprinkled and only one side of the scissor gets water on it, the entire scissor is not tahar. Right? So isn't that contradictory? So the Gemara says, "Varmin and Manasha, what kind of rule is that? Ichibur hu. If it's connected, if it's considered an attached kli, tafil aza." So if it's attached, so all you need is one part of the keli to become wet from the paraduma, and the whole keli is tar. Why are you making a distinction? The lo chibur, and if it's not called connected, then afilu tuma namilo. Then if one half of the scissor got tameh, the other half should not become tameh. It's not consistent. So if Amar Rabba said, Dvar Torah, mina Torah, bishas molacha, while you're using the kli, while it's being used, chibur, then it's considered attached, Bein l'tumah, bein l'hazah. It's considered attached for both. While you're using it, somehow it got tameh. The whole thing is tameh, even if only one half. And if while you're using it, it's a difficult hechitinzi. If while you're using it, it got sprinkled with the paraduma. So even if only one part of it got wet from the paraduma water, the whole thing is tar. B'shas while it's being used. Shelo b'shas melacha, and if it's not being used, eino chibur. It's not considered connected. Lo l'tumah v'lo l'hazah, for neither. Okay? That's min haTorah. But, since it's so easy to make a mistake, we will machmer in both ways. The gazru, and they made a gzeirah, al tumah shelo b'shas melacha, regarding tumah shelo b'shas melacha, that's not, regarding tumah when it's not being used, mishum tumah hu shehi shas b'shas melacha, for tumah that, when it is being used. In other words, we had said that when it's being used, then if one part of it becomes tummy, the whole thing becomes tummy. Now what goes there, even if it's not being used, when one part of it becomes tummy, we're going to make the whole thing tummy. People are going to get very confused about that. Was I using it when it got tummy? Was I not using it when it got tummy? It's only half tummy. The other half is not tummy, but it's scissors. So to avoid all this confusion, we're machmer, the whole thing becomes tummy, even if you're not using it. And now we're being machmer by paradum in the exact reverse. Valhazah, and regarding sprinkling, shehi b'shaz melacha, right? we're making zera when you're being used, mishum hazah shelo b'shas malacha. We make gzeira for when it's not being used. So if it's being used, then if you sprinkle on one, the whole thing becomes tar. And if it's not being used, then not, so we make gzeira. Since people are going to get all confused, so we said that in order for it to become tar, both have to get wet. Anyway, you see from all this that there's no distinction made whether or not the bell is removed or not. There's no distinction made that if the pieces of the scissors are detached, then the halacha is different. No such issues brought up here. So Rashi points out, you see from here that if the bell and the clapper are removed, it doesn't make a difference. That just because the bell and the clapper are removed, that does not remove the tumah. That does remove the tumah. The only time that a bell and a clapper are going to become tumah is if they're connected. And if they're not connected, it's over. There's no tumah anymore. Unlike what Abaye said. Abaye said that if the bell and the clapper are removed, the Braisa said that if you remove the clapper, it's still tumah. So Abaye said because you can reattach it. So you see from over here, that's not a factor. Reattaching it has nothing to do with it. Right? That's what Rav is trying to prove from this whole Braisa. So we can do the answer. Ella, Amar Rav, so this is why if a clapper is removed, the bell is still tummy. This is why. We had said the chumah the other way is as follows: midaraisa. While it's being used, if one portion of the scissors got wet from the paraduma, the whole thing is wet. The whole thing is tahar. We said b'dvar Torah, b'shas malacha, chibur bein l'tuma bein l'haza, that if b'shas malacha, while it's being used, so you're using the scissors to cut a piece of paper, and while you're doing that, these scissors are tameh, and the water of the paraduma sprinkles on one, the entire scissors is tahar. If it's not b'shas malacha, then if water gets sprinkled on one half of the scissors, it does not make tahar the other half of the scissors. Since that's the case, shelo b'shas malacha, we will gozer even b'shas malacha. We don't want people getting confused. That's the chumrah. So you see from over there that removing the piece does not make it tahar. That the reason why it becomes tahar is not because it's removed, because it's so easy to put back. That's what you see from this Gemara, from this Mishnah in Para. So why is it then that if the clapper came off, the bell still tahar, still tameh? If the clapper came off, why is the bell still tameh? Amar Rava, ho overall la kisho al gabi cheres. You can still use the bell to make noise, even if it doesn't have a clapper, if you bang it on a side of a kli cheres. If you bang the bell on a piece of pottery, it's still going to make noise. So it still has a function. Rashi says it's compared to, let's say you have a basket, and the basket got a little hole in it. The basket's not broken. Okay, you can't put seeds in there, maybe. You can't put little tiny seeds, but you can put apples. So just because something is broken, right, and the Gemara says, the Rashi points out, you say this about a basket till the hole is so big that you can't put pomegranates in it. Maybe watermelons. At some point, the hole has become so big it can't be used at all. But I have a little hole, so you just put bigger fruit. Just because you have a hole, it doesn't mean that the cleat's broken. So too over here, just because you lost the clapper, it doesn't mean the cleat's broken. You can still use it to make noise by banging it against the cleat cheres. It marnami amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, ho'ol v'roi la kesho al gabi cheres. You can use the bell to bang it against a kli cheres. Today's daf is sponsored. Le'ilu Nishmas, David Tzvi ben Dov Mordechai.